Welcome to the Ghost Hacks Podcast. What you are about to hear may make you laugh. It may make you cry. It may make you shake in your boots. Two prison gods talking about strange things in the night they may never understand. And here are your hosts, Tom and Joe.
Hey everybody, what's up? This is, see, I already f***ed up.
Episode one, we f*** up.
Hey, what's going on everybody? Welcome to the Ghost Hacks Podcast. This is episode one, meet the hosts. So my name is Joe.
I'm Tom.
And we are two prison guards who
hacks.
Who have a fascination for the paranormal.
You know, me and the missus were talking. You're now Ghost Joe, because I know entirely too many Italian Joes in my life. So I got Cousin Joe, we got Big Joe that we used to work with, and now you're Ghost Joe. So that even went into my phone, you're Ghost Joe.
You know what? I'll take that, because I've had a whole bunch of different nicknames. Actually, somebody just reminded me about a nickname that I had when I was younger. They used to call me Rock and Roll Joe, my neighbors, which I was okay with that, too.
Yeah, I'd be good with that one.
Rock and Roll Joe, Ghost Joe. They used to call me Butterbean in jail when I was, I've gotten Butterbean. I've gotten Kane. I've gotten
everything
pretty much but my name,
See, I only got called off a whole lot when we were rookies together.
So now we're either gonna have to, bleep things out or put this that, you know what, we can't bleep anything out. That's it is what it is. The whole show would be bleeped out. Then, yeah, probably. Yeah. So let's see. Episode one. I guess we're gonna be basically our show is just talking about. I mean, I know I've always been fascinated with the paranormal. You know, ever since I was a little kid, and I just want to jump on this podcast train that everybody's doing now. I love it. You know, I think it's cool. I think it's fun and it's something to do at home, you know, instead of just...
Can only watch Netflix so much, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you know?
I've memorized every Big Bang Theory episode of late.
Yeah, but the one thing I did notice about the whole podcast community, though, is that, you know, because I've been on a lot of the podcast Facebook groups and stuff like that, asking questions, and a lot of people that do podcasts, it almost seems like it's not, people aren't in, you know, in competition with each other. I guess because there's just so many podcasts around of like the same subjects,
right?
That I think it's kind of oversaturated, so it's like there's not really any need to be in competition with anybody. Like, because you could listen to 10 or 15 different podcasts of the same subject. It doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
And get something different out of every single one of them.
Why does Wendy's open across from Burger King? Because they just help each other out. Hopefully that's where we'll stand here.
That's true. So I guess let me get into my take on the paranormal is that, as I told you before, Tom, that I'm a realist in the fact that I guess I'm more towards the believer side, but I'm a realist in the fact that, you know, I'll think of other things first, or I'll analyze something before. If I see something or I hear something that I think is a little weird, I'll analyze it first before I go straight to, oh, it's a ghost. Oh, it's this, it's that.
Right.
So I try to be a realist on certain things, but at the same time, I feel like a lot of these things exist, and it might not happen all the time, but it's happening.
I've always been the, for lack of a better term, the X-Files guy. I want to believe. But like you said, that's the wind. It's not Lucifer coming to take my immortal soul, you know? I just have one thing that I saw in my entire life that I cannot explain. You start, though.
All right. So my very first experience was around when I was 6 or 7 years old.
That young, really?
Yeah. And, you know, you could we'll go through if you think it could be something else, and it could have been, you know, because I was very young. But what happened was I was staying at my grandparents' apartment in Pominock, Queens.
Okay.
It was an apartment building. And me, my cousin, who was 2 years older than me, and my sister, who's older than me as well, we were all sleeping in the same bed. This was the 80s, so, you know.
It was okay then.
It was okay then. You know? So, just to give you guys a visual, the bed that we were sleeping in was in the back room. It was towards the wall. And if you looked straight from laying in the bed, you would see the hallway with
like a railroad
rooms.
Apartment almost.
Yeah. Okay. With rooms on either side, and straight ahead would be the window to the front of the apartment. So I wake up in the middle of the night, at least, you know, I assume it was the middle of the night, everybody was sleeping. And it was pitch black in there, it was very dark. And I focus my eyes and I see a white figure. It looked almost solid, but not completely solid. And it was pacing down the hallway, back towards me, back in a room, and it kept pacing back and forth over and over and over. And even at that age, I was staring at it. I was looking at it really closely.
My own.
Yeah, and the first thing I thought of, which thank God I thought of this, was I woke up my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, wake up, wake up. And she looks, and she's like, and she saw it too. And she saw the same thing as me. And we're looking. My sister slept like a log, so she wouldn't wake up. And then, you know, as a 6 or 7 year old kid would, you know, I screamed because I was terrified. And all the lights went on, and I didn't see it anymore. Now, what I saw, it definitely appeared to be floating. I don't remember seeing feet. I don't, right. You know.
Well, it wasn't a family member, so
well,
you
that,
knew something was.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right,
you know,
there,
that's
yeah.
What I'm saying. Like, you could chalk it up as, oh, well, maybe one of my grandparents was pacing back and forth or whatever, but it wasn't. And then when all the lights went on, there was nothing there.
Okay.
Fast forward many years later, ever since then, I was always interested in the paranormal due to that. And horror movies. I've been watching horror movies since I was 8 years old. Again, it was the 80s. So, I mean, all the good horror movies are out in the 80s.
Right, right.
But my dad, who was a kid in that same apartment, that was his room that we all stayed in. And he assures me that he's not trying to mess with me. He'll even say it to this day. That he used to be laying in his bed and he used to hear whispering in his ear. Somebody whispering his name. Danny, whispering in his ear.
Did you ever even Google search the address or?
No, I actually never really bothered to
do
that.
Oh, now we got
to
do that.
Now we're going to have to do that, yeah. And then another experience that he had was he had said that he was sitting on his bed. And like I said, the bed and then, you know, faces the door to the bedroom. He said he was sitting on his bed and he said, if there's a God, give me a sign. And he said the door slammed shut right in front of his eyes, slammed completely shut really fast, really hard. And he said, and it was stuck for a few seconds. That could have been his shock or that could have been his,
yeah,
you know, not being able to open it right away. But the door definitely slammed shut, which was.
Well, that neighborhood, those apartments have been there forever. And a family gets in there and they stay forever. You know what I mean? So you got, if somebody passed away there, if, you know, just generations of emotion and whatnot building up, there could be something residual.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's weird that you saw it and dad saw it too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure everybody.
Well, not saw it, but you both had the almost exact experience. Yeah.
Just so I'm sure everybody listening to this is. Probably knows
both of you
right a bit about the paranormal, but a residual haunting is something that's like a projector, like a recording, like it follows the same pattern. It's almost like it doesn't even know that you're there. It's kind of like on a playback, like a loop, and that's kind of what a residual haunting is. An intelligent haunting is one where they know that you're there and they try to communicate with you. So that's my little, the more you know.
Go Joe.
So let's hear your experience.
Mine, I always wanted to believe. I wanted to believe. I stole that line as soon as I heard it from the X-Files. But I'm the guy from Flatbush who acts like he's from Missouri. You got to show me. You know what I mean? Until I became supervisor. Are we allowed to say where we work?
I don't know. Maybe not yet. Maybe we'll just leave that
well,
in the dark.
The jail that I work at has been there forever. And I became supervisor, so you know once you get promoted, you're the bottom of the barrel, you're on the wheel again. So I was working midnights, which I hate, but and I was the only sergeant in the whole jail. The nursery, obviously I work in a female jail, I'm giving it up, but the nursery building used to be the original medical building for forever. And when they built the new medical building, they used that building now exclusively as a nursery. So the third floor is not used at all. It's only used for emergency, like now during COVID, we use it for a quarantine area or whatnot. But people would always say, people, you know, with 20, 30 years in that jail would always say, just stay out of the nursery at night. Okay, yeah, no problem. Yeah. Raz the rookie, I get it. Haha. Until one night I'm finishing my rounds. It was 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm walking back to the admin. I was about to say admin building, the administration building. And sure enough, I look up on the third floor of the nursery. There's a light on. There's not supposed to be a light. And the room, the window next door to where the light is, I see a shadow. Plain as day, that is a shadow. There's not, I know what I'm looking at. I'm looking at a shadow. And the blinds, now they're up and down blinds, the big long ones, move behind the shadow. Okay, well.
The count was clear?
The count was clear.
Okay.
And I went to my partner. She came in early that morning. So she got there about 5:30, 6 o'clock to relieve me. I'm like, hey, you know, I know, haha, nursery's supposed to be haunted. She goes, you saw the shadow, huh?
Oh, wow.
Oh, come on. Seriously?
Wow, chills.
Come on.
That's crazy.
And it turns out when she got promoted, she saw something very similar to a shadow on the third floor, to the point where she called an alert, knowing that there's not supposed to be anything up there, and performed a search of the third floor with no results. And she goes, you know, I just lived that down. She goes, I'm glad you didn't do what I did. So anyway, that is my one thing that I saw with my own eyes. I can't explain.
And that somebody validated it like that.
And someone immediately validated it. Yeah, someone I trust.
Yeah.
My partner, you know.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I have a couple jail stories also. Paranormal jail stories. We're not here to talk about our other jail stories. Just paranormal jail stories.
I'm sure that's another podcast entirely.
Yeah, absolutely. But the one that I'm going to share right now was when I was in a different department. I was working in a maximum security prison, the only maximum security prison I worked with in this department. And we get a call. It was the morning. I worked the morning shift. And they said to us, they said, listen, you, and they picked a sergeant, I think two other officers. And they said, listen, 911 just called me up and said that they received a phone call. They couldn't understand the voice. They couldn't understand what they were saying, but that the phone call came from inside the visit house, and the visit house has been closed since earlier the day before.
Right.
And they had received this
phone call. Is that the jail that I worked at?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You know? So they said, oh, yeah, you, and take Sergeant so-and-so and, you know, go over there and check it out. Okay. Of course, I was the rookie. They said, oh, yeah, Joe, here, take the keys. You go first. Like, oh, thanks, guys. I don't know what I'm doing.
I know how this movie ends.
Great. Thank you. So, you know, we opened it up. I don't even think we went in. I think we just opened it up, said, yep, we're all good here. You know, closed it up, and we got the hell out of there. But just the fact that 911 had called the prison and said, yeah, we received a phone call from inside, from this phone number. And they're like, yeah, that's the visit house. It's been closed since yesterday afternoon.
Well, that prison also had the death house for many years.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
right.
You know, which Old is Sparky. Now. Yeah, which is now a tool shed where they keep the lawnmowers and whatnot. But yeah, it's not far from the visit room.
No. And honestly, I think if any prisons were to be haunted, that would definitely be one of them.
Well, it's been around since what? The Civil War? Can we say it? We don't work there anymore. Sing Sing.
Right.
Sing yeah. Sing in Ossining, New York.
Yep. That's it. And yeah, it's been there forever. It's notorious people that have stayed in there, I'm sure that have died in there as well.
Yeah.
So, and then especially since the death house was there and the original electric chair was there. I'm sure there's plenty of things roaming around in there that's not completely human.
You know what? I've always said, now, you know, Eastern State Penitentiary in Pennsylvania is a huge Halloween attraction. Ooh, go through the empty jail, it's haunted or whatnot. But the people presenting that are never former COs.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, they're guys trying to make a buck, and we're going to walk those galleries a lot safer, quote-unquote, you know, for lack of a better word, in the head
right.
than anybody else. You know, I think we hear a noise on a gallery, you know, on a noise.
Right.
Call yeah. a count. You know what I mean?
I actually went to the Eastern State Penitentiary last year with my wife and a couple neighbors.
We oh, you did?
There. Yeah, but unfortunately, like, I wanted to go on a regular paranormal tour there.
Okay.
But we went during the Halloween time, which is when they dress it all up and they jump out and scare you. And it was really cool, actually. It was really, really cool. But I realized that being a correction officer, obviously we know it desensitizes you, but
to everything.
I couldn't get scared at all. Like, I mean, they were like right behind me and I was like telling them, you know, get my neighbor, get her right in front of me. You know, we'll switch places, you know.
I'm like, a CEO for Christ's sake. You're not going to bother me.
Yeah, well, it's funny too. Another story, it's not paranormal, but another story a couple of weeks ago, we were taking down my pool. My brother-in-law thought he was funny, and he saw a worm on the floor. And he threw it at me, and it hit me in the head and fell on the floor. And he goes, Joe, you didn't even flinch. I said, you think that's the worst thing that's ever been thrown at me? I said, a worm is probably the nicest thing anybody's ever thrown at me.
Exactly.
You know, like that didn't do nothing for me. You know, that didn't do anything to me.
For someone who doesn't know, gassing is if a convict really, really doesn't like you and will defecate and urinate in a bucket or a styrofoam cup, and the next time you make rounds on the gallery, he gasses you and you're wearing what was inside the cup. So yeah, I'll take a worm to the head anytime.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. I've worked in some of the worst places in New York, so I've had plenty of experiences with that kind of stuff. But a couple other stories that I had when I worked in another department, corrections. I was working in a jail. The area that I was working in was the segregation unit. So basically they're on lockdown for 23 out of 24 hours. So technically you're like a butler for them. You know, you have to get them the toilet paper and the soap and toothpaste and toothbrushes and take them in the shower and all sorts of that good stuff. Nice choice with the beer, by the way, Emil. So I'm standing there. Now, I'm the only officer on the floor. And there's another officer that's in the control bubble, you know, right near me. But he's locked in the control bubble. So I'm standing there, and there, we used to keep everything in, like, this little white bucket. You know, all the toilet paper, like, rolls of toilet paper and soap and the toothpaste and stuff would all be kept in this one bucket. And we kept it on this box, very secure, very sturdy box, let me tell you. So years, about 3 years before I worked in this jail, unfortunately, there was a tragic death. And, you know, somebody had passed away. So I'm talking to the officer that's in the control bubble. And out of nowhere, the bucket that's behind me, about 5-10 feet behind me, just up and falls flat on the floor. Everything went all over the place. And there was nobody around it. There was no wind because we don't have open windows in jail.
Especially not in a shoe setting.
Exactly. So, I mean, there was no reason for this thing to just fly off and fall on the floor like that. And my coworker had seen it, and he goes, "What was that?" And I said, "Yeah, that's my fault." And he goes, "What are you talking about?" I said, things just follow me, I think. You know, like, so I think I was probably thinking too much about what occurred a couple of years prior. And sorry about that. That's my fault.
And he probably went, "Oh, geez, another one."
But yeah, I feel like I consider myself, I'm not psychic. I don't consider myself anything like that. But I do consider myself somewhat of a sensitive. Like, I feel like I've had plenty of experiences, which I'll tell throughout the life of the podcast, hopefully a long life of the podcast.
Yes, knock wood.
But I've had many experiences, different ones, full-bodied apparitions, hearing things, just...
I did it too, excuse me.
Seeing all sorts of things, you know, that you can't really explain. And, yeah.
Ghosts.
Yeah, ghosts.
Pitter-patter of little...
The elephant that lives upstairs. But, yeah, it's the joy of doing this at home, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I consider myself somewhat of a sensitive, meaning, like, I feel like things are either attracted to me in that way, or usually, like, if I say, "Oh, well, give me a sign, this and that," or I don't even have to ask that. Like, sometimes I'll be watching a movie, or I'll be thinking about something paranormal, and something will just happen that I can't explain.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's why, like, I don't choose to watch The Exorcist at night by myself. Not because I'm scared of the movie, but I'm nervous that something's going to happen that's going to freak me the hell out, that's going to be real, you know? So I try not to watch those movies by myself at night anymore.
Right.
I kind of learned my lesson with that kind of stuff.
As far as entertainment, I never liked the we grew up in the 70s, 80s, slasher took over horror. So I really just shied away from that. Unless it had, like, Freddy, the Nightmare on Elm Street would have, you know, funny one-liners and whatnot all through it. I couldn't just sit there and watch a straight slasher film. But you give me something like Blair Witch Project, where you actually have to think. And maybe that, I'll admit it, scared the pants off of me.
Yeah, the found footage movies are very cool. You know, and actually, there's a lot more than I thought there were of those.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot. I was just watching one the other day called Grave Encounters. That's supposed to be one of the scariest ones.
Really? Hold on, I'm writing it down now.
And it's funny because it actually makes fun of a specific show that has a very eccentric host to it.
Oh, do tell.
That deals with ghost hunting.
God. Don't get me started on the TV shows.
I think that might be for another show.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be kind of long-winded with that one. But yeah, no, I'm just going to say they kind of make fun of the Ghost Adventures show. You know, they make fun of the Zach Bagans. Like, that's the kind of thing that it's
his hair is perfect.
Right.
I'll give him that.
Yeah.
He has good hair.
That's true. That's true.
And his taste in jeans. Well, I don't know about that. That's where it stops with me on that show. Forget about it.
But he,
go ahead. Go
no,
ahead.
But sorry. He, yeah, but like what the movie is about is that, you know, a paranormal group, they're on TV. It's like their first season and they go on, they get locked into, I believe it was a psychiatric hospital and hilarity ensues, you know, but it's actually, it seems to be a really good movie. I didn't get through the whole thing yet. I only watched half of it so far, but yeah, that's a found footage movie. I think there was a second one to that. You got to remember the Paranormal Activity movies are found footage, basically, movies. There's one called The Last Exorcism that's really good.
That one I know of, yeah.
There's actually, there's tons of them. Tons, I guess because they're the easiest thing to make, you know?
I didn't know you had a dog. Yeah. I'm sure if anybody's listening to this. I'm sure
everybody else could probably get that dog, too.
I had no idea that you guys had a dog.
He's a Yorkie, all right? So he's loud. Sorry, everybody. It's our first podcast, so
we'll figure this out.
And
eventually.
You know what? Even in the 100th podcast, you're still going to be hearing him barking. So.
Yeah, another couple of years, we'll figure out what we're doing.
But yeah, as you see, this is a very. We just kind of hit record, and we're just going with it right now. We don't have no script or anything like that. But I am going to pull up a list that I made, and tell me your thoughts on them.
Okay.
And I'll tell you mine, too. All right, so ghosts, hauntings, we already know that you're a believer, but you kind of have to see it to believe it.
Yeah, kind of.
All right, what about demonic possession?
I don't know, man. I married a Sicilian girl, so I know people can be possessed. I got out of that by the skin of my teeth. Julie, if you're listening, I'm sorry. It was just a joke.
That's the beauty of the edit button. My take on the demonic possession is I feel like it could be true. When you think about it, I think like anything to do with religion is just scarier than anything else. Like that's why The Exorcist was always and will always be considered the scariest movie of all time. You know, when you throw that religious aspect in there.
Yeah. I get you.
It definitely freaks more people out. I feel like it's like a fine line between is it demonic or is it a psychological problem that somebody might have bipolar or what, you know, split personalities, whatever it could be.
Well, not to be a jerk, but, you know, demonic possession very likely is real. Let's just say it. I'm Catholic. According to the church, it can happen. But it's almost the same thing with UFOs. Why is the people being possessed or the people that the UFOs are showing up to, they're always some guy that works for Dollar General and lives in a trailer. You know, if I'm a demon, I'm going to possess like Biden.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Somebody that can do something.
Right, right, right.
Somebody that can bring hell on earth, you know?
True. And
the guy at Dollar General might, you know, swipe you beef jerky twice. You know, that's about as evil as he's going to be.
I mean... There's nothing wrong with that. All right, so what about on the subject of UFOs? What about UFOs and aliens? What do you feel about that?
I think anybody with a rational thought in their head has to believe. And the reason why is science teaches us that the universe is never ending. It goes on and on and on and on. It's not just this solar system. So you're saying... In all of creation, in all of the universe that never stops expanding, there's no life on any other planet. I think it's naive to think that. It doesn't have to be sentient life. You know, we're sitting here drinking a couple of beers, talking bullshitting.
Right.
But that there's no, on a moon somewhere, 12 million light years away, there's no algae or there's no insects under a rock somewhere. I think it's naive not to believe that. In Jurassic Park, life finds a way.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel the same way too. Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, anybody would be naive to think that we're alone. I mean, the galaxy, the universe, whatever, is gigantic.
Right.
They keep finding solar systems like all the time. And I think one of them they said is exactly like ours, which has a planet exactly like ours. So who's to say that there's not life on that planet? Are they little green men? You know,
do they want to destroy us
in spaceships? Yeah. No, I don't think so. I don't know if anybody. I mean, and the other thing too is that it's so widespread. Like, do I feel that maybe some people have experienced some stuff? Probably, maybe, but it's not nearly as many people that say that they have.
Right.
Honestly, the one thing I can't really explain is I can't explain the crop circles. I don't get that because I don't see how anybody could be out there in the middle of the night with a tractor in cornfields making like all these intricate designs, you know, especially if you're a farmer or something like that. How do you know how to do any of that stuff?
Man, if the crop circles are aliens, you know, it's some kid that stole his daddy's like Mercedes spaceship. Let's just fuck with the humans today.
What about cryptids? You know what cryptids are? Cryptids is like Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, the Jersey Devil, stuff like that.
That's one of those things, man, I want to believe. It would be awesome to, like the Yeti or Bigfoot, be a new species, like a subspecies. That would be great. And they're hiding because humans are assholes. For whatever reason.
Right.
You know, Loch Ness Monster, though, how is something that big hiding in that lock for forever? But, yeah, it would be great. Well, you know, with the Yetis, Bigfoot, let's go with Bigfoot. We're in America. What is all that screaming that people have been recording forever?
Right. Yeah. You know? No, it's true. It's true.
It's not a screech owl.
I definitely believe in some of them. There's way more than we even know about. I mean, there's so many, like, mirror men and lizard people and all sorts of crazy things. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not true, because I can't. It's unexplained, so we don't know if it's true or not. Bigfoot, I kind of believe in Bigfoot. But as of recently, I've been seeing that people have been saying that Bigfoot is now they're thinking he's an alien, or he's Bigfoot is a time traveler, or he travels through different dimensions. I think you're kind of stretching things at that point.
Yeah. Listen, if he's a time traveling, dimension hopping guy, he could do something with his haircut.
Right. Sure.
Put some cologne on, because apparently this guy stinks every time somebody comes near him.
And you would think he would walk a little better.
Stand
over
up straight.
And stuff. Yeah, pal. You know?
Have some pride in yourself.
He's going to be a real controversial one, actually. What about psychics? How do you feel about psychics?
I'm rolling my eyes over here. Anytime we've been down the Jersey Shore and the missus wants to go to a psychic and whatnot, she feeds them everything that they spit back to her.
Right.
You know, you walk into the shop, and they got a microphone on the front door. You can see it. You and I know what it is, because we're in that business.
Right.
We're in security.
Yeah.
All right? We can see the microphone or the ring on the front door. So they're listening to you walking in. But you know what? There was a famous scene in The Sopranos where Paulie goes to a psychic, and the guy was talking to all his victims. Paulie Walnuts was talking to... Went to the psychic, and the guy was talking to all of Paulie's victims. I would love that to happen to me. I would love, because at that moment, that character in that show had proof that this psychic was real. Yes, that's the kind of proof I want. Yes, please let me believe in this.
Right.
But John Edwards, you're full of shit. I'm calling you out on it.
Well, even...
Pally.
I don't know if you've ever seen the South Park episode with John Edwards.
Yes.
And
the Ghost Adventures one, but that's another one. Ghost Hunters, yeah.
But because my thing with psychics, I want to believe in it. I definitely do. You know, like, I mean, there's different kinds of psychics. There's the psychics that see the future, and there's psychic mediums that talk to the dead.
Mm-hmm.
I want to believe it, but I think... being a correction officer and honestly, there's a thing called cold reading, which is basically what you were talking about, where you could walk in there and they could kind of pick things out just from the way you look, the way you talk, the way, you know, what you're saying. And they could pick on things and kind of just go with that. And you know, like, oh, do you know anybody with a, you know, I see an older man. Everybody had a grandfather, a great-grandfather.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, and then they just build on that.
Did you know a police officer? Sweetheart, I'm Irish from Flatbush. Yeah, I knew about 100 of them.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, with the whole cold reading thing, and then you have to, one thing that we've been good at, or that we've learned how to do as correction officers, is we know how to read people. We could walk into a room and in 2 seconds be like, ah, something's going on. Something's going to happen. And you know right away. You know exactly what's, you know, like, you know that, all right, there's something not right here. Or
absolutely. You know, you pick up on it right away. And you don't have this much time on the job as we do without that.
Right. Right. And then also, you know, like, you know how to read people, and the fact that we deal with 100 different personalities a day. So you learn how to interact with people, how to, all right, I got to talk to this person that way and talk to this person that way and use this kind of language with that person and use this kind of language exactly. with that person. And it just comes natural after a while. But that's definitely part of cold reading, you know? So that's why I definitely lost a lot, but I'm still, you know, I actually might be interviewing a psychic at one point. So, but like I said, I'm not completely done with it, but I need to definitely get some validation from that because yeah. I'm not sure, you know, with the whole psychic thing. Let's see, what else? Ouija boards. What do you think of that?
I don't know, man. I mean, I haven't used one since I was a kid in the basement, you know, at night. And I don't know. I mean, as a kid, we always had the, ooh, it said yes, ooh, it said no. But who knows if my brother was pushing it that way, you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I had an experience with a Ouija board that definitely freaked me out. And I can't explain that. I guess I'll run through it. It's a quick story. Basically, I was in the car, and I was hanging out with somebody, and we were playing with the Ouija board. And we contacted somebody or something. And then after about an hour or whatever, I took her home. And
an hour. Good for you, Joe. Good for Ghost Joe.
Thank you.
Got a whole hour
Ghost
out
Joe.
Of it.
No. She's a good friend of mine, all right? So I was driving home, and nobody else in the car, just me. And I hear what sounds like whispering, but it was almost as if somebody was sitting in the back seat and leaning over and whispering into my ear. And I couldn't understand what they were saying, but that's exactly what it sounded like, and it freaked me the hell out. And you figure, if you're 15 minutes away, what do I do? Am I right. going to pull the car over and run away? You know, like, what do you do, you know? So what I ended up doing was I drove home, and I just said it out loud before I went in my house. I said, do not follow me in this house. If it's something, do not follow me in this house. I don't know if they actually ever listened to that. I don't know if that even helps or if that right. does anything. But I did it because it freaked me the hell out. But that was my experience with the Ouija board. But every other time, I think everybody was kind of moving it
on their own.
But
yeah.
That, was for me, was definitely a very real experience. Let's see. What about like ESP or like telekinesis? Do you believe people could move stuff with their minds? And
I've just seen so many debunked that it's very hard to believe. Listen, if it exists, if it's real, the CIA is doing it and we'll never know about it, you know?
You think it's like Lucy, like where somebody is using more than the 10% of their brain and they're able to do crazy yeah. things because they're, you know? Yeah, for me, I don't know. I don't know either. I've never seen anybody that did it. I've never been able to make anybody's head explode. Not that I've tried.
Forget head explode. Just freaking sweep up the kitchen. Start slow. Do something that's actually going to help you.
Let's see. Well, I know you're Irish, but what about curses? I know the Italians have a lot of, you know, the evil eye and... you know, all that stuff. But do you believe in curses? You know, somebody cursing?
I believe that you believe it, not you personally.
Right.
But if you grow up in an Italian house or you grow up in an Irish house and your grandmother tells you that, you know, she put the Voikia on you.
Right.
You're going to believe it.
Right, right.
You know, and now if you fall off your skateboard, oh, it's because grandma put the Voikia on me. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think that's more of people believing it and then blaming bad luck on them.
I feel the same way, too. Like, I feel like, all right, somebody put a curse on you, then like 10 years down the line, you're like, oh, I tripped and I hurt my wrist. Oh, that was because of that curse 10 years ago.
10 years ago, yeah.
You know, like I kind of feel like, yeah, people just associate that, you know, with something. And, you know, that's how I feel about that kind of stuff. And then let's see. Well, we said something about it before, but what do you feel about like time warps, time travel, stuff like that? Like,
I wish it was real. I do. I mean, in fact, that is, other than zombie movies and reading about, you know, zombies like World War Z and, you know, Day by Day Armageddon, my favorite entertainment topic is always time travel. Mm-hmm. Always. Love it. Love right. every... In fact, there's a famous author by the name of Harry Turtledove. I don't know if you ever read any of his stuff, but he does all alternative history. And all his stuff, well, I guess it's not really time travel, but all his stuff will just take one event that turned out differently than it really did in real history, and he'll just run with that whole story, and it's just fascinating. So whether it's true or not, or, you know, time warps and all that, but I would love it.
Yeah, I don't know about so much as time travel. I feel like time warps might happen, you know, like when you're sitting there and you're like, holy crap, 5 hours just passed. Where the hell did that time go? What did I do in 5 hours? Where did that go?
Put down the crack pipe.
but they also contribute that they say that that's a part of hypnosis, because you're using your subconscious mind is just kind of, you're like on autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you drive, we know, because we've driven all across the state a lot. You could drive for 3 hours and you're like, I'm here already?
You know? I'm still listening to Iron Maiden. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know? So like, but is that what causes that? You know, that's, so I believe that's what they mean by time warp, you know, as far as that goes. But yeah.
I'm shaking my head like anybody. Like both people that are listening could hear
right, right, right.
Hear the rocks in my head.
Our fan.
Yeah.
All right, man. So that was our little list of the paranormal, seeing, you know, where we kind of stand on everything. To me, I feel like, you know, if the right person comes along, or if we see the right kind of evidence, I think we could be swayed by that. I'm not completely concrete about everything.
It's our job, bro. There's just black and white with our job. There's always got to be an answer, you know, and that's what it's like being a prison guard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're going to be the toughest critics ever.
Right. Right.
And I think that's where this podcast comes in. As we said in the intro, we're talking about stuff that we can't possibly explain.
Right.
We'd love to explain it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But this was our first show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you like what you heard, you could find us on the Facebook groups with the Ghost Hacks Podcast. Just do a little search on Ghost Hacks Podcast in the Facebook groups, and you'll find us, and subscribe if you like it.
If you hate it, have your ex-wife subscribe. Hi again, Julie.
So, yeah. So, also, if you have any experiences, or if you want to tell us anything about anything, if you want to be a guest, or, you know, have any experiences you want to share, or tell us we suck, you could always...
We know we suck, so get creative. Tell us how much we suck.
That's true. I mean, we've heard
a lot.
We
hear it every day how much we suck.
And we've heard it in very intricate ways, too. Yeah, so you, make
to,
it good.
Yeah, to even get our attention.
Right.
You gotta go the distance.
Do something good in the subject line.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah, so you could leave me an email at joeghosthackspodcast@gmail.com.
And we're going to get more ways to reach out to us in the very near future. But definitely, please reach out to us. If you have an experience, we want to talk to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Ghost Hacks Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and find us on Facebook groups. If you have any paranormal experiences you would like to share, please email joeghosthackspodcast@gmail.com, and we may even read your submission on the air. Have a good night, and don't forget to change your shorts.